The title of the message this morning is, You Shall Be My Witness. And our text is from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Amen. There is so much power in the Word of God. Today, our message is titled, You Shall Be My Witness. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are about what Christ did and taught. In Acts, the Apostle Luke continues to write about the work of Christ and what he did and taught through the Holy Spirit. That's why it was so fitting this about the Holy Spirit this morning. Come, fill me, teach me. It is so important what the Holy Spirit does in each one of our lives. The book of Acts puts the emphasis on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For 40 days, the risen Lord had been instructing the apostles things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He taught them out of the scriptures. Why were they taught out of the scriptures? It says in Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, or the word of God. We need to hear the word of God, and that is why he taught them out of the scriptures. It is the word of Christ and the Holy Spirit that brings us to Christ and allows us to grow in our faith. In this text, Christ gives us a command to be his witness. He says, You shall be my witness. He doesn't say you might be my witness. He doesn't say you may be my witness. He says, You shall be my witness. Have you ever thought of that? Not maybe, not might, but you will. You shall be my witness is what the Word of God says. And Christ equips us to be his witness. He gives us five qualities of a witness in this text. In Acts 1:8, it begins, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. What power do we receive? The power of the Holy Spirit. One of the great doctrines of Christianity is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in the heart of each believer who trusts in Christ Jesus as their Savior. As it says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, Do you not know that you are a temple of God and the Holy Spirit dwells within you? And in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. We are to glorify God. It is so important that we understand that one of the great doctrines of Christianity is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in the heart of each believer who trusts in Christ Jesus as their Savior and Lord. In Acts 1:8, it says, "You shall be my witness." It doesn't say we might be, but that we will be. And we are His witnesses. Where do we witness? Well, in verse 8 it says, in Jerusalem. Well, Jerusalem is where we live. That's what how Jerusalem applies to us. Then it says, in all Judea. That's an outlying community of what's around us. And then it says, in Samaria. That's what we witness with the people we don't normally associate with. Like what Jesus did when He went to the Samaritan woman. The Jews never associated with the Samaritans. So we witness with those we don't associate with too. And then it says we go on to witness the remotest part of the earth. Now we may not be able to do that, but we do it through missions when we give to missions. Christ has equipped us with the Holy Spirit and has given every believer the command to be His witness. When you believe in Christ, you are His witness by what you do and by what you say. He says, if we love Him, we will keep His commandments. And we cannot pass this commandment to others. Everyone is to be His witness. We can't say, well, here, you go be His witness for me. No. Every one of us is a witness by what we do and what we say. Christ has equipped us with the Holy Spirit and has given every believer the command to be His witness. In this text, He gives us five qualities to be His witness. The first quality, I love this first quality. It's found in verse 1. This is probably the most important quality in this whole text. The book is addressed to Theophilus. Theophilus is thought might have been a personal friend of Luke's. Or it could be a general group. Here's the connection. Theophilus means lover of God. Isn't that precious? To be a witness of Christ, we need to be a lover of God. We need to love Him. He says, if we love Him, we will keep His commandments. In fact, because it goes on, one of the first commandments He gave us is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In the book of Mark and Luke, it adds, with all your strength. That is the first and foremost commandment Christ gave us. We are to be a lover of God. It is by God's grace that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And that today Christ is risen and at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. You know what Christ has done? When He was on earth, His headquarters was down here, I think in Capernaum. Right now today, His headquarters is at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. That's where His headquarters is today. He intercedes for us. He's watching over us. He's directing the Holy Spirit to teach us. He's not leaving us. He's just changed His headquarters from here to up in the right hand of God. Oh, we praise Him. When we love something, you think about it, whether you love cooking, fishing, whatever you love, farming, horses, whatever. You want to tell other people about it, about those things you love. And that is what we should do. When we love Christ, when we love God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit, we need to tell others about them. We do. We have a story to tell. When we love Jesus, we should be talking about Him and sharing Him with others. The most important quality for us is to be a lover of God. Theophilus, a lover of God. The second quality of witnessing in our text is trusting God. Verses 2 and 3, Christ is giving orders and teaching the disciples and the apostles. For 40 days, Christ gave them many convincing proofs that he was God. There are 10 recorded appearances of Jesus after his resurrection. The ministry of his resurrection is what impacts us the most today. You know, we could go through the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I probably would do that down the road, about all the works of Christ. But today, the one that impacts us the most is that Jesus Christ is risen and at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He is risen. That's what impacts us today. And that's what we should be telling people about. There are two groups of people, the ungodly and the godly. The problem with the unbelieving and ungodly is not having facts to rest their faith in, but it's in their unbelieving heart. It's important that the resurrection of Christ is preached and the resurrection of Christ is taught, because it impacts us more today than anything else. So when you tell someone about Jesus today, you tell them that he's risen. Wonderful thing to tell people about Jesus is that he loves them. He died for them. He was buried and risen today. Don't forget about the part that Jesus is risen and at the right hand of God. The disciples trusted God. The second quality that goes along with that is to be a witness of God is to really trust him. It says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. To be a witness of God, we need to trust him. With everything that's happening in the world today, do you trust God to lead you? Are you trusting him? Are you getting overwhelmed with what's going on in the world? And saying, oh, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen here? Oh, I don't know. Am I going to have enough for this or for that? We need to trust God. Amen is right. It says, do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. It's so very important that we trust him. The third quality, to be a witness, to be teachable. We're not to lean on our understanding, but to trust God and to follow him. For 40 days, Jesus has been instructing the apostles about the kingdom of God and what he had taught them. But a big part of being teachable was to be humble. We need to let God lead us. You know, I'm going to come back to parts of this scripture in my next sermons and so forth. But here, the disciples, you know, they said to the disciples said, well, first of all, Jesus said in Luke 24, 27, then the beginning with Moses, with all the prophets, explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. In verse 44 and 45 of Luke 24, he says, now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all of these things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the book of Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened his minds to understand the scriptures so they could understand, so that they could the word of God could be revealed to them. Jesus opened up their hearts, their souls, and minds to understand his word. Today, Jesus works through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit allows us to understand his word. And the Holy Spirit reveals the Word of God to us. The fourth quality to be a witness is to wait on God. One of the most important attributes also. We need to be patient. Too often we get ahead of God. We all get impatient. And we just need to wait. It says in Psalm 40, I think it's verse 10, be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes we just need to wait on him and be still and let him direct our lives. We can read in the book of Genesis about Abraham. great men of God who did not wait on God. He went out of God's will and he had Ishmael by his handmaid Hagar. That was out of God's will. Even at a time, you know, he thought, well, how could this be? I need to have a seed. So Sarah said, well, go to my Hagar. He did not wait on God. It is so easy sometimes for us to get ahead of God. We need to wait on him. Psalm 37, verse 7 is a precious psalm. Verse that says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Isn't that precious? It says, rest in him and wait patiently for him. You know, sometimes we can pray or we can do or think or whatever, and we want to get ahead of God. We want him to do something. And that's what we find in the book of Acts, too, where they got ahead of God. Man can get ahead of God. But the scripture says, rest in the Lord and patiently wait for him. We all need to know it is Christ in us and not us when we witness. It's Christ. The Holy Spirit teaches us and will bring all things to remembrance that we need when we witness. We're not out there on our own. We're not alone. It says in John 14, 26 that the Holy Spirit's going to give us what we need. Often, when I'm in a situation, I quickly say a prayer to myself of what I need. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to share. Because the Holy Spirit will bring all things back to remembrance as we need them. We're never alone. It's important for us to realize that. When we feel that we can be out there alone, that's when we're not humble. And that's when we'll fall. Always seek the Lord, seek the Holy Spirit for help. It is Christ in us and not us. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he had planned beforehand, before the very foundation of the world that we should walk in. The Father's got a work for each and every one of us. We just need to wait on God and let him follow him and let the Holy Spirit lead us. We all should be a witness of Christ and what he's done in our lives. The fifth quality of being a witness is to listen to God and be ready for his return. In verse 7, Jesus says, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority. It's God's secret. You know, we could go back. Many great men of God has been, oh, this is going to happen today, or this is going to lead to the end times. None of us know. But so many want to get to where this is the time, this is when it's going to happen. It's God's secret. It's his mystery. He says in Scripture, none of the angels knew, not even the Father, not even the Son knew. It's up to the Father. But you can go back. What happened during Y2K? Or is that how you say that? People thought that was going to be the end. It wasn't. But there was sure lots of talk about it. I mean, we can get way ahead of ourselves. We need to let God work. Only he knows the time, not us. In Matthew 24, verse 36, but of that day and hour knows not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. So many of you have wanted to know and tell others about it. Many have made hundreds of thousands of dollars writing books. In Matthew 24, 42, therefore be on alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Matthew 24, 44. For this reason you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. When the Son of Man comes, he's going to come like that, in an instant. He's not going to just dribble his way in. But he's coming. We don't know when it will be, but it will be like a flash of lightning, it says in Scripture. How are we ready? We need to love Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We need to know he's the Son of God. We need to be a lover of God. When we are a lover of God, we will be ready. It says in 2 Timothy, I think it's 4-6, in that area where those who love his appearing are going to receive a crown of righteousness. If you're loving his appearing, it's promised you of a crown of righteousness. That's what Paul said, for himself and for everyone who loves his appearing. We need to be a lover of God and witness what he's done in our lives, being thankful and having a heart of gratitude. As we look over our life, we can see all the many things that God does in our lives and the Holy Spirit each and every day. Each and every day. A challenge to each one of us is that we would be blameless until Christ returns. That we'd be without fault. We all fall short of this because we have two natures. One is our sin nature, and the other nature is that we are a new creation in Christ. Paul said he was ready for Christ's return. He said in Philippians 1:20, which is such a wonderful verse, it says, according to my earnest expectations and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Is that not precious? Paul is saying that Christ would be exalted in my body. Is Christ exalted in our bodies? Are we exalting him? That's what Paul was saying, that Christ would be exalted in my body. Whoa, is that something we should strive for? That we'd be lifting up Christ and exalting him all the time. That is precious. What a goal for us. It's not one we can do on our own, but we have the Holy Spirit to help us. Christ gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 again. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. When we accept Christ, we are given the power of the Holy Spirit to help us in every aspect of our lives. Did we catch that? We have the Holy Spirit to help us in every aspect of our lives. That's why we need to trust God. That's why we can turn everything over to him. That's why we don't need to worry about things. As it says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, which means worry about nothing. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We are to worry about nothing and pray about everything, because we have the Holy Spirit to help us in every aspect of our lives. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Acts 1:8 gives the apostles and us a commission to be Christ's witnesses, wherever we are. Jesus has said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. His command for us is to be his witness. We are his witness by how we act and what we say. Are we telling others what Jesus has done in our lives, and how they need to repent and to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord? Do not ever be ashamed to speak of Christ with someone. It'll take a great deal of boldness, but you know what? The Holy Spirit's there to help you. It says in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Gentile. The gospel of Christ is that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again from the dead according to the Scriptures. Do not be ashamed of that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Almighty God, we just praise you and thank you, Father, for this powerful word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, where you have said to us, we need to be a lover of you. How precious it is to remind us in such simple words. And how important it is to love you and to speak of you. Father, we pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would continue to instill within us that we should love you, wait on you, trust you, and let you work in our lives. We thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.